All right, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Buffo?
Here.
Perry? Miller? Ping?
Here.
Morris? Stuber?
Here.
I'm here too.
This, you mean the gender or the cup of comments?
The gender. All right, well, if we'll go ahead and stand, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you wish, you can remain standing and join us in an invocation. Father, we come to you tonight in this cold January day, and we just thank you for the wisdom to lead Tolono to a land of prosperity. We thank you, Father, for your wisdom as we deal with the issues. We thank you as we deal with the bills. And we just thank you for wisdom as we lead Tolono each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, public comments. Does anybody want to speak? Okay. All right, let's get on to reports. And, oh, Matt is here. Front and center, Mr. Graven. Mark, would you like to sit with us? We have two empty chairs,
sure.
Or three empty chairs. Kind of like you get to sit at the big table,
yes.
And have to sit at the kids' table.
I used to sit in the corner with a cap on my head. So.
Well, I wasn't planning on being here, so I had nothing really to add to tonight's agenda. But I'm here. So, I've got two things I just kind of want to bring to everybody's attention. Since Paul's here, we'll kind of go over this one first. We're moving forward with the project at Central and River Road. I think the plans are coming together on that site. I thought Frank with the Planning Commission was going to be here, but I don't see him yet. So, I think he was going to kind of discuss the steps that the Planning Commission needed to take to kind of get everything moving forward. So,
speaking of the Planning Commission and the Building Board of Appeals, I'd like to squish those into one, like Philo has. So, if we can, on next meeting, have an ordinance written to squish those two together, do we have to repeal the ordinances of them in there?
Yes and no.
It's a lawyerly answer.
We would. It's not a big deal to do it. We will, since we're amending the zoning ordinance,
okay.
We'll need to have a public hearing on it and stick an ad in the paper.
Okay.
So it's not a normal ordinance, but that would be the only requirement.
Okay, how long does the public hearing have to be? Can we do it before the board meeting?
Do you do it during the meeting? Just the fact that you're talking about it makes the public hearing.
Perfect.
So to give the public a chance to talk at that moment, and if there's nobody there to talk about it.
And then the next meeting we could squish them together.
No, you'll do it all in one meeting.
Oh, perfect.
But
okay.
How far in advance do we have
to post That's it? The problem. I may or may not be able to get it done for the next... I can't get it done for the next meeting, but I can get it done for the meeting after that.
Well, it gives us 30 days.
Because the public is
almost.
Yeah.
Okay. And perfect. We've got the press here to do our little press release for us, our posting. It's so nice that you come. We're giving your paper some money.
Frank, did he give... I think he gave stuff that you printed out correct.
Yeah.
And the board members should have that in their packets. He said, I'll tell them the Planning Commission expects complete plans. We'll need review by our engineer, which that's going to cost us for them to review those plans.
Who are we using for an engineer?
We'll use whoever. Okay. It makes no difference to me. We're following procedures for plan unit development, which should wrap up all the details with maybe just one public hearing and one board approval. So hopefully this moves through pretty quick, pretty painlessly.
And the engineering is just reviewing it for the water and the
right.
and how it's right. going to set on the land and if they need retaining.
Yep.
And okay.
Yep.
So we can use C2.
Yeah.
C2.
Yep.
If we need to.
So it sounds like that's moving forward. Hopefully you're fine with how everything's progressing along.
Yeah. So I guess I'm more or less positioned. I'm waiting for next steps, feedback, or
right.
whatever.
Right.
If you need something out of us, we're ready to move forward.
I think the way it sounds, everything is we've got our ducks in a row now, and we just kind of follow the steps to get there
sure.
to the end now. So.
Can you reach out to those Farnsworth and the C2, and just kind of get an idea how much it's going to cost
yeah.
from either one?
Yeah.
And just go with what
they probably have an idea just by looking at stuff they've reviewed in the past. Mm-hmm. So
and just go with everyone's cheapest because it seems like we're happy with both of them right now.
Yeah.
That way it moves us along.
Yep. The other issue we've got right now, it's not really an issue, it's kind of a good thing. There's two lots over on Austin Street that are for sale. Between Corey and Whitehead, and somebody's looking to purchase those. The thing is, they're wanting to build a shed house. So since we don't really have, and I sent an email to Randy Bockert, and I don't know if he's really with the zoning board. I don't know.
Can you send that email out to everybody on the board? The plans of the house and stuff. It looks really cool, but I don't know if it fits.
Is this like a Morton building that they make into a house?
Look
thing?
At. Oh, you've got pictures.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I don't know if it fits in that neighborhood.
That's what I want to know. If there's something that doesn't.
It doesn't look bad with siding. It actually looks really cool with siding.
But I don't want something to stand out like or upset the neighbors that are already there. So, and it's not my fault. So
that brings us up. We can combine those two boards, and then we have it taken care of.
Seems like stuff should go through a little bit
quicker,
easier. Got everything right there together.
Yeah. And this would be perfect for the planning board, too. Because let's see if that even fits
and
in that.
Because a lot of this stuff, I don't have anybody to contact to ask questions right now. So I'm trying to contact people, and it's like, I don't know what to tell you.
And feel free to reach out. Savoy's offered their assistance if you need help. They're zoning people. And Mom, it's offered whatever we need, too. You can reach out to their zoning people. I talked to Savoy's zoning guy a while back on something I was dealing with. So they said they would help or talk to us or help you a little bit until we can get the boards combined and you can use them.
I did give you Philo's kindness. Mm-hmm. They kind of got their stuff set up for their zoning. Kind of give you an idea if that's something.
They've really cleaned up their zoning too. It's
yeah.
looking really nice.
Yeah. So, from last meeting when we hired C2 to do the engineering and survey work, they've been out. They were out last week and have two of the areas surveyed already. So, they haven't been back out this week due to weather. So, they're hoping to get out maybe towards the end of this week. Finish up that other site, so they'll have all that stuff the data gathered so they can go through and start doing the engineering on that. So.
Cool. Any other questions for Matt? Cool. Thank you. All right. Chief, you want to come give?
Got is on your sheet. You should have a monthly report, and then on the back of that, you should have one of these fourth quarter reports that you get every quarter. And then one last thing that I do at the end of the year is give you a yearly total for 3 years to kind of compare where we are now compared to calls from past years, etc. If you have any questions about that, had some issues with the building. I don't know if you guys have been aware of that or not, but we're finding cracks in the walls.
Yeah, I guess he's not here tonight.
Who's not here tonight?
The architect.
Oh.
To ask for the final pay request.
Yeah, we found several things that are showing up that shouldn't be there. We found out that the entrance to the squad room, or the front inside door here, is not shutting now. You can open it. It's supposed to be access controlled, and you can actually open it and shut it, but it won't shut.
Is that
it will shut, but it won't lock.
Is that FE or is that the contract? That might be FE.
Oh, I don't think it's the access. I think it's the door, because if you stand back from the door, you can see where it's really thin here and kind of wide down here. So I think the door is shifted or needs a readjustment.
Well, make sure you contact Scott, and make sure you contact the Grunlow guy.
He's already done. He'll be here tomorrow.
Perfect. And then the heater quit in the garage, but they got that fixed.
I took care of that. He got over here with another person, got that taken care of. We got the locks fixed on this outside door where it will stay open now without having to put tape on it.
Yeah.
So that's been done.
We have one key, and Rick's got one key, so he's going to make copies. So everybody can have a key. So if you have a meeting in here, you can unlock it. This door they broke.
How many do you want, for sure?
What door they broke?
The door to the boardroom. They were fixing it, and some spring went gone somewhere. So they had to order a new locking system for it. Yeah, so that's why it looks kind of weird.
He says it'll still shut and everything. It's just the handle's kind of loopy.
So they're going to fix that. So at least 8 of these? What about your guys? Do your guys need any? Or do you just want one for your building?
Yeah.
Do you want these to be do not duplicate keys?
No.
Why?
Well, none of us say don't duplicate. So
I mean, we can make them that way.
No, we can make them that way, yeah.
So how many? 8? So each board member can have one?
Do you really want that, or do they have one for you, one for Rick, and then maybe two at the village office so we can go...
We could do that, too. That'd make more sense. Better key control. I thought about leaving one in here. Who has access? I guess there's only a couple of us that have access to this locked safe, because that's probably where I want to put mine, because I don't want to carry it.
Our key fob should work anyway.
Yeah, key fobs are going
to
get you in and out.
For us just to get in and out.
All this does is leave the door unlocked.
So people can come in.
Yeah, so...
So just get 3 or 4, and that way we have a couple extra that we can put the key box in.
Sounds good to me. I don't think there's anything else we found.
Yeah, make sure you show the cracks to him too, and
yeah, you'll see.
And that whole inch where all the
all that too.
Fasteners are coming off, which could be settling.
So. I think it is. I think because they weren't there before, and all of a sudden they're showing up. You know, so I don't know if it's the, like you said, settling or the heat, the cold, and all that other kind of stuff. Could be.
Any questions for Rick? All right. I need a motion to approve the hiring of a full-time officer, Charles Frost III, pending a background. Frost found a transition. He's got part-timers, PTI, so he needs a two-week transition course to go from part-timers to full-timers. He found on his own a class down by Aurora, right?
Belleville. Yeah, he's
Belleville.
It just came open.
And
he's willing to go all the way down there to do it. So,
and that'll get him transitioned over, and we can get him going full-time. In the meantime, we're just going to work him semi-quasi part-time until he gets that class. So I need, but pending his background, we got to get his background done, his fingerprints done, back.
When I get the fingerprints back, and that will help me get that sent in to the training board so he's considered hired, then we can go and sign him up for the transition board. But without those background checks, his fingerprints and stuff, I can't do that because I'm signing in the sheet online saying that it has been done and all this, and of course I'm not going to say it was if it isn't.
So I just need a motion to hire Charles Frost the third pending his background check.
I will make a motion to hire Charles Frost the third pending a background check.
Perfect.
For the full-time police officer.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All right, I guess that'd be a roll call.
Butler? Yes. Payne?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Okay. Now I need a motion to hire part-time police officer Roger Hayden. So.
Do you?
It's on here, so.
Roger Hayden, he's a retired lieutenant from the Illinois State Police. Yeah, he's also on the fire department here.
I think everybody knows Roger.
Medical training and things like that. So.
Normally we wouldn't because it's a part-timer, but it's on the agenda, so we'll follow the agenda. So I need a motion to hire Roger Hayden as a part-time police officer.
I don't know Roger Hayden. So I've heard of the name.
Well, normally we'll let them hire their own part-timers, like maintenance hires their own part-timers. But since it's on here is why we're doing it this
way.
We just
need to give Rick permission to make a decision.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll make a motion to hire Roger Hayden as the part-time, in the part-time police officer position.
Perfect.
And he's definitely cool.
Second.
Buffo?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. Moving along.
Mm-hmm.
Regular session, let's see. We need approval of the minutes for the January 2nd, 2018.
Treasure.
Sorry. Sorry, Robert.
Wow.
Go ahead.
There's no love for the
poor Robert.
It's pretty simple.
No, for fun.
We have bills. Any questions? They're pretty cut and dry this time.
Yeah.
I'm every meeting keeps the load down. While I'm up here, copier and boiler proposals. We can knock those out real quick.
You have them all?
No.
Okay.
I asked them to have them ready by the first meeting of next month, so that'll be our next meeting here. The copiers, they're kind of slowly coming in. It's a pretty simple process. They just pick something out of their inventory and say, this is what we can do. Two companies have come out and looked at our boiler. Both have told me the exact same thing, that switching to forced air is not, the forced
silly.
Air furnace is not economical. They will provide the proposal as requested, but they would also like to submit a proposal for replacing the boiler. So I told them you can add whatever you'd like to it, but we're requesting the furnace forced air replacement.
And I want to request things for the boiler because that boiler lasts over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The next boiler will probably last over 50 years. So we pay like $2,000 more for it, and we're going to get twice as much use out of it. Plus the one proposal for the forced air, they wanted to run all new ducts and everything.
One guy wants to run new ducts. The other wants to use the existing air handler for the AC and put electric heat strips in it, if possible, to...
Which that would be expensive.
Utility-wise, yes. Yeah. Installation-wise, you need
to... And right now, what's the gas run on that place?
You know, that's hard to say.
What's you know what the bill runs in general on there?
I think now we're looking around $350 a month for gas. But that bill couples multiple facilities onto one. So off the top of my head, I can't accurately say it's just for Village Hall.
Is that it? Oh, perfect.
A little graph on there will show you kind of a historical comparison.
Almost as bad as mine.
Can you hand me a different pen?
Okay. So, I need a... Do we have any sewer credits?
No.
I need a motion to pay bills.
I'll make a motion to pay bills as presented.
Second.
Bubba?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Now, this isn't the price just for the house, it's
$1,600. I need to see that in more detail.
No, I hope not.
So this is actually street lighting. This is not our building or facility at all.
Hey, that's what I get. You know, just go on blind faith right there.
Right
up here.
Go away.
If you're looking for gas,
it says on there optional.
It'll say gas here.
Okay.
And then the Village Hall electric is on the Summer Village.
Okay.
So that didn't come through on this board meeting.
Okay, cool.
I think there's another one in here, but I don't know.
All right, so we got bills. There's no sewer credits, so we're done with Robert, right? Perfect. Budgets. Each department's doing their budgets. Robert's going to do their utilities.
Staffing. At current levels.
Yeah. There was something else you're going to do, like reoccurring costs, like telephones and stuff like that.
Basically, budget regulars.
Yeah. So he's going to take care of that end of it. Then Matt and Rick are going to get their budgets in early this year. Yay.
Give me an idea of when you're
going
to be in,
because...
Tomorrow. That's exactly what I was thinking. As soon as possible. I mean, we have months. I mean, we have 4 months, 5 months. But I want to get them in as soon as possible, so that way we have a board meeting or two to kind of review them and look at them, and you guys can explain them, so we're not getting them all done, thinking we're done, and then going down to the last minute again. So we kind of know what the expenses are going to be, so... So, all right. Now we're down to regular session minutes for January 2nd. Need approval for those.
Motion to approve regular session minutes for January 2nd.
I'll second.
Bubba?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Did she find out? Oh, you did, didn't you? I just didn't look at it.
I'll make a motion to approve the executive session minutes from January 2nd, 2018.
Second.
Bubba?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, the discussion of the liquor ordinance. Have to wake up Marcus there. It's all you. You're on.
All right, so we've got the liquor ordinance that was emailed out to you. And this is kind of... From what I can tell, is kind of pieced together from different things. I took a look at it and made some notes. I think what you want to kind of do is maybe skim through it, see what kinds of things you like or don't like about it, and then what we can do is have a cleaned up version available for your next meeting to approve. You don't have to, but I don't see that as being a big problem to be able to have it done by then. The notable thing that I saw in this is that We would be eliminating having a liquor commission. So you would have a liquor commissioner, and the liquor commissioner would could discipline someone who violated the served underage drinkers or stayed open too late, something like that. The liquor commissioner gets put in a position where he or she can discipline the business, revoke the license altogether if it were significant enough. The appeals process goes to the state of Illinois itself if there were an appeal with the liquor commissioner. Given our size community, I tend to agree with the mayor, and that is we really don't need a liquor commissioner, but you can have one. So I'm just pointing out that in under this ordinance, you'd be eliminating that.
Along with that, we'll have set fines for set things. I think that was in my notes too, where right now it's wide open. So say it'll do serves an underage drinker, and we give them an oral reprimand. Casey's sells underage liquor to someone, we give them a $100 fine. There's no set fines right now. So I think in that, I wanted some set guidelines and fines so it stays consistent. I think that was in one of the notes I sent you. So that way I'm not making things up as we go along. It's the same for everybody.
We can do that. Did you ever see a fines? I'm trying to get a feel for what amounts you like for the fines.
I don't remember. I think I put some amounts in there, but I just kind of guesstimated. And I'm completely open for that. And we really don't have that many problems a year.
I would say in the past 20 years, less than 5.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's set.
And the other thing you can do, too, is if it's let's say it's an underage drinking thing that comes from a sting by the state, which is what it mm-hmm. usually is, you don't have to discipline at all. You can just let the state do it. One of the reasons why a locality would do it is you get to keep the fine money. The other reason is that you can mete out the discipline that you think is more appropriate, and sometimes that might be softer than the state or might be more...
I don't think the state did anything the last incident we had. They just reported it to us, and nothing was done on it. And then all we did was call the people in and gave them an oral reprimand, I think. That was before my time, but I sat in the meeting with it.
I know Casey's has been caught twice, and they fined them $2,500 a piece.
Did they?
And they fined the employee $250.
Because that's what I was talking about. It was
and
the Casey's one.
Fired them, so they can't come back for a year to be hired at
okay. Well, that's good to know, because I didn't know the follow through upon it.
Casey's right.
Cool.
Yeah, they have to be now. But for example, we could say, well, no. That's not good enough, and we want to suspend you for 3 days, or we want to revoke your license. On the flip side, if we step in and we discipline them, and the state sees that we're disciplining them, then their policy has been that they won't. So,
okay.
For example, you could fine Casey's $100, and they probably wouldn't have gotten the $2,500 fine from the state.
Can you find out exact numbers, or is that exact numbers?
I don't know if I can.
Well, go ask Casey's. Tomorrow. Yeah, just ask them.
It's been a while since I had one, but I had one in another community, and I know that the fine was over $1,000. I just can't remember what the number
is. I don't see fining them quite that bad, but I don't know. I'm open to suggestion on fines.
It's a serious offense.
It's true.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
I'm just thinking our areas don't really make that much.
It's
not our problem.
I know. This is why we have a board, so I can be soft. You can get a hammer.
So I'll propose a fine schedule.
Perfect, thank you.
And then you can just change the numbers at the meeting and still approve the ordinance.
Okay, cool. And I'm sorry I interrupted you in the middle.
No,
you're going through
I don't
presentation.
Have a whole lot. I mean, most of my chicken scratches just have to do with little minor things I don't think you guys care about. Yeah, you do have the annual fees,
penalties start at $21.65.
We've got our mandatory training
to the bar there, Baird. And this will shrink that down, right? So it's not like they'll shrink the ordinance down, so it's not like 100 pages.
A lot of this was kind of, it seemed like it was cutting and pasting some of the statute, and then cutting and pasting some different regulations, which probably is unnecessary. But I'm just trying to edit what you've got, make it kind of work based on what you want versus me chopping it up.
Because I'd like to make
more
it
than to.
Relatively simple, because that way we can give it to the police officers and they can carry it in their car and they can actually...
Well, I think it'll be simple in to the extent that you can easily find the spot
perfect
what you're looking for. So even though this is kind of long, I think it's really easily used.
Perfect.
So those were the two big areas that are kind of significant changes from what we've done in the past. So I don't sense that there is anything controversial. You can look at the types of licenses you're going to have. I wanted to make sure that, do you want to have an outdoor cafe as a matter of right? So in other words, if I've got a bar and I want to do my seating outside, or if it's all on my own land, then I should be able to do it as a matter of right if I have a liquor license. Or do you want me to have to get a special separate license to do it? That's different from me having seating on your public right-of-way. If you're going to do public right-of-way seating, which is fine, you're really wanting kind of a license that gives me permission to have my personal property sitting on your land and using it, kind of like I'm renting it.
Kind of like they did in Urbana with the parking spaces.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Champagne Outdoor Cafes all do that, right? So you'll look on the sidewalk and you actually see a little piece of metal down in the sidewalk that shows them exactly where they're allowed to go up to, so that way they leave enough walking
space. I would
like
a special license on it just because we have two bars right next to the library. I don't think outdoor cafe would be appropriate.
Now, would it be appropriate if it's on the property?
If it's on their property, I don't see a problem.
Okay.
It's if they're encroaching on...
on the libraries or on the public property.
Except someone's sitting in front of a dead horse.
Yeah.
Loose cover now, whatever it is. That's fine.
True.
But if you're talking about tables on the sidewalk...
They've actually talked about fencing that almost in, the dead horse in.
Mm-hmm. The loose cobra.
Loose cobra, yes, the loose cobra.
Can you think of instances where you might actually see someone wanting to do it on private or on public land?
Jax is the only one.
And there's none on the sidewalk there to do that.
All right, then I don't see us, it's not worth having me deal with it. And then if we have some development down the road where they want to do it,
we can add it.
It's super easy just to give them a one-time, one-shot license. So, you know, we're not big enough where we need a formal ordinance that sets up the criteria.
And in there, our current opening times on Sunday are what?
Our current opening time?
In that ordinance as is.
In this ordinance?
Yeah. I think it's 1.
On this one, I think what you're contemplating doing is changing it to, I believe, 11, if you want to do that or not, but I mean, that's something you need to decide if you're comfortable with. I think the past arguments I've heard about it have to do with trying to accommodate watching football on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that you get elected to decide, not for me to recommend.
And we've only had one bar owner really push for the 11 o'clock because he opens up at 11 to start cooking or getting his smokers and stuff going and ends up with a whole bunch of people in there and he can't serve them. And then they just pack up and go to Savoy.
I personally, if we increase the start time on Sundays, I would suggest no earlier than noon to accommodate for the churches that are near the bars.
I don't think those bars will even open up because they don't serve food.
It doesn't matter. If we put it in there, I'd like us to be considerate of all of the different businesses around, and I think the library opens at noon. So, so I would suggest no earlier than noon for those serving food. And then, well, I'd say no earlier than noon, period.
Yeah, like 11.
I know.
I like 11, too.
Split the difference. It's right now 1.
Yeah. Because I don't think churches need to be taken into account.
Well,
not everybody goes to church.
Yeah.
Not everybody goes to bars either.
Exactly.
So.
Ryan, do you have an opinion?
I would be fine with 11. So.
Vicky?
It's because it's their business. I don't want to dictate their business. We're obviously
we're already dictating their business by telling them they can't open until 1.
We've got guys that they're asking. They want to open at 11, and this is their reason. It's for their business. It's because they've had people coming in. It's not
they can
just because they want to do
11.
It.
And actually, I think all of our bars actually serve food. I mean, as simple as bar pizza, but technically, maybe Jack's does.
Lou's doesn't.
Is the only one.
I would prefer if we're going to open earlier, well, serve earlier, noon be the earliest. You can eat all you want at 11 a.m., but you already can't drink till 1. So if we give you an extra hour of drinking versus 2, I think you'll be okay. And all of these other towns that you have on this list, they don't open till noon, except for those that open at 6.
Which ones don't open till noon?
Mahomet, Philo, Monticello, Rantoul, Gibson City.
I'd like to update that because I don't think that's right.
You're the one that put it in there.
Actually, I did. I got that came from Mark, I think. That was already in the notes.
I don't know where it came from. I had nothing to do with this until I got it in the email.
Yeah, I didn't put the times in there.
What does Savoy do?
Savoy's open at
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Yeah.
And if they're going to go to Savoy, they're going to go to Savoy anyway. It's not about what time you opened up. It's about what quality you have in your restaurant or your bar.
I don't like to look at it as an extra hour of drinking, though. That's saying that, to me, somebody's going to be there all day drinking. To me, it's about wanting a glass of wine or even a Bloody Mary when you're having your dinner. Not about having another hour of drinking. That's I don't like how that's phrased.
But that's exactly what we're discussing is the time you can start drinking.
Put it as an additional, so they're going to, instead of 9 hours of drinking on Sunday, they can do 11 hours of drinking.
No. We allow them to start serving at 1. If we start them at noon, we are giving them an extra hour of serving alcohol. And other people, an extra hour if they want to drink alcohol.
Serving alcohol is different than drinking alcohol.
I think if they're going to be open from business, they should be able to be open for all the business that they have. So if we say 11, I think we should allow liquor to be served at 11. If we say 12, then we will allow liquor to be served at 12. But I think if they're allowed to be open, they should be allowed to like serve their whole suite of items.
So are you saying if somebody opened at 9 a.m.?
I don't think
Sunday.
It's going to open at 9 a.m.
That's not what I'm asking.
That's the request for it now is we have somebody actually asking to open at 11. Their full menu at 11 o'clock because they want to make sales. And I don't see why can, we need to deny that. He sees that he's losing business.
Yeah, and he has people come in mm-hmm. and sit down, and when they find out they can't get anything, then they leave. And Casey's, every time you go in there on Sunday morning, there's always somebody that comes in and tries to buy packaged liquor. Always. And it's all the boating that goes to Lake Shadyville, all the boaters we have. So they just go, there's a community just, was it, somebody along the way, they actually changed their hours essentially to catch up the people that would have been buying here. Cause they're not drinking it at 6 o'clock in the morning or whenever they're loading their boats up. They're filling their boats up with gas and they're packing their coolers and heading to the lake. So even the packaged liquor, we're losing that sales tax too. So, Vicki, what do you think? 11 or noon?
I feel like 11. I feel like people eat at 11. They eat lunch at 11.
Maybe some of the churches get out at 11. Ours doesn't.
Get out at 11. But I feel like with their lunch they can...
Okay. All right. I guess 11 o'clock, Mark.
You can always change it at another meeting if you want to do it. So
at least gets it in there. All right. Anything else on there, Terrence?
Nope.
All right, we already talked about copiers. And you're done, right, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. And weather. Now the approval of the ordinance 2018-0-3. Has everybody had a chance to read that? Well, it's been on there forever.
So has it changed?
It has not changed. We just kept dragging it out because Mr. Fisher said he was going to be at this meeting. It's the only reason it's got drug out.
His letter you guys had me send gave him until this date to give us something in writing other than what it said or to be at the meeting. So
if we want to go ahead and pass that, I just need a motion.
Motion to approve ordinance 2018-0-3, authorizing execution of a drainage and mowing agreement.
Second.
Buffo?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. Now we're at the electric aggregation. I just like to say aggregation.
Am I on, Mr. Mayor?
Yep, you are on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and ladies and gentlemen. Let me start by thanking Brandy, who did the premise authentication for us. And what that means is we have all of the residential and small commercial businesses eligible within the city limits are now on the list. We've taken that list and have gone to market with it, and I'm going to describe that in just a moment. So we're actually at the last two steps to complete electric aggregation for Tolono. We finished the first one this afternoon with two public hearings. We did advertising in the County Star newspaper for the past 3 weeks to announce the public hearing. This was the 57th public hearing that I participated with the community in. I can tell you that this afternoon we were honored to have Mr. Ping with us. He was the only person outside of the mayor and Brandy who opened and closed the public hearings. But we really, this is typical. In my own community of Quincy, which is our largest, we have about 17,000 meters there. We had a total of, I think it was 10 people in two public hearings. So, but the point is we've satisfied the law with regard to the public hearings. They are important, whether people came or not. The fact is the law required it, and we got them done. So the first action then is we need approval of the plan of operation and governance, which has been on file with the village clerk for 3 weeks, as required by law. The law requires 2 weeks, and that's what the public hearings were about. Plan of operation and governance really exactly that. It states how the program operates, what the relationship of the community is with the supplier, assures that there is public information available, customers are served, that there's a call center. If we had a foreign population, that we have call center people to handle that. So, Mr. Mayor, by resolution, we just need approval of the plan of operation and governance for the village of Tolono. It's similar to the one we have for the other 56 communities that Steinbeck consults with.
Okay, I need a motion. It was in your, that whole agreement was in the board packets. Anybody have questions over the agreement?
Did you look over it, Mark?
I skimmed it, but I didn't really look at it. If I can look at it quickly again.
I was just wondering if you caught anything.
These are plans that kind of follow a statutory requirement, and the companies just generate these things. And it sets out the process by which you administer this program under the Act. So it's there's not a whole lot of latitude on this. It also gives the company we're working with the ability to go ahead and go through the bidding process with our information and then go ahead and get the bids. You'll ultimately be approving the bids, but and then you're gonna are you bringing back a rate that they approve, or are you getting a rate from them that they're pre-approving, or are they pre-authorizing the mayor just to make a decision?
Yeah, that's our next step. You may recall the trustees, I think a couple of months ago, approved an ordinance by which you authorized the mayor to execute a service agreement. And the reason for that is when we, with an RFP, go to the market and ask for bids from suppliers, those bids hold, I have a copy for each person there, those bids hold for 8 hours. And because we're after 4:30, they actually hold until tomorrow morning. That's the reason we can do this tonight. But the fact is, because typically we can't get the board together for most communities, because you have to post 48 hours notice of public hearing, and then you have to have the group together. You can't have a quorum. So that's why a few months ago, maybe a couple of months ago, you passed the ordinance which authorized the mayor to what I call pulling the trigger on the service agreement. However, the mayor wanted your participation, and so we've set it up so that we got bids today from three suppliers. And to answer your question, Mark, let me pass these out. This is actually the second piece. We still need approval of plan of operation and governance. And but in any case, we have bids that we'll make a recommendation and explain those bids to you in just a moment. But if we can, it'd be good to have the approval of the plan of operation and governance. The first of the two steps, and then we're ready to go.
Any questions?
Which I did skim over it, and it looks fine. And you don't actually have an ordinance that authorizes it, so we're just going to put a motion.
Yes.
Make a motion.
By resolution, we just simply approve the plan of operation and governance.
For the customer service contract,
yes,
which this says is separate, would either be separate or included in the power supply agreement. How did we choose to go with that? Is it just being folded in, or
yes,
are we doing a separate contract?
The supplier provides customer service.
Mm-hmm.
There's a customer call center, and electric aggregation has been around since 2010. So all suppliers who participate in Illinois now have customer call centers and are prepared to provide customer service in an 800 number. Calls that may come in to Brandy, she can refer people to the 800 number, or typically she would, if there's a question she can't answer immediately, she's welcome to call me. But in most cases, people will call the customer call center. Those have been going on now for 7 years. So.
Okay. And that's included in the rate?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything is included in the rate. The mayor and I were talking earlier this evening. Let me finish the plan of operation and governance first. That's part of this.
And here it says the provider may or may not charge an early termination fee. Do you anticipate?
No. Okay. The mayor asked that question, believe it or not, tonight too.
Okay.
And that question is, if you decide to leave, which you have every right to do at any time during the contract, either before it starts or any time afterward, you can leave. In our request for proposal, we have demonstrated to suppliers that they must bid with a no termination fee contract. So if you leave early, there is no fee to leave. I know of only one other alternative electric supplier that doesn't charge a fee. Most of them do charge a fee, and it's up to $50 in Illinois.
And if someone leaves, what is the time frame in which they, if they decide, you know, this was better,
yeah,
when could they come back?
Yeah. They have 2 months to choose a supplier.
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't chosen an alternative supplier by that time, they have to remain with Ameren. And the reason is pretty intuitive, and that is if I've gone to Ameren, I've let Ameren know that I want to be on their system, Ameren has to make arrangements to get power for me for the next 12 months. And so they're typically contracts for 12 months. So
right.
You have 2 months to go someplace else. Once you leave the city's, the village's program, 2 months to go someplace else, or you're automatically locked in for 12 months with Ameren. And then you can go someplace else at the end of the 12-month period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and no matter what, when the ice storm takes down the power lines, Ameren's
coming anyway.
Yeah, Ameren's taking care of all the service.
Yeah. A very good point. There are three parts to the business. There's the distribution, which is Ameren. There's power supply and transmission. What you'll see in the rate we brought you are for the last two, the latter two, power supply and transmission. Ameren continues to do the distribution, so it's responsible for all the poles, wires, metering, service drops, and so on. So,
I'll make a motion to approve the electric power aggregation plan of operation and governance as presented.
I will second.
Bubba?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, if I may, I'll finish with the second part. This is the last piece then that needs to be done in order to have the program actually start. We went to market with request for proposal a couple of weeks ago. We got indicative pricing, which I forwarded. It looks good. And today we got actual executable, what's called executable pricing for Tolono's program. I won't go into all the details as to how that occurred. But the RFP satisfied all the requirements we insist that suppliers provide to our communities. And the bottom line of this page you see here, I've yellowed in what are the best prices, which actually come from Mid-American Utility, which is the firm from Dubuque, Iowa. That's Warren Buffett's firm. The other two bids we had were from Constellation, which is an Exelon firm out of Chicago, and for Homefield, which is a Dynegy firm, located in Collinsville, Illinois. We've had contracts with all three of these companies before. They're fine companies. They're large utilities. We believe in generation only, not paper, so we're not... When we go to market, we want companies that have capacity to sell kilowatt hours, not paper who are buying it from somebody else that we have to rely on, you know, the good faith of the middleman. So, in any case, these were three actual utilities, three actual bids received today. We asked for 12, 24, and 36 months. And the best in all three cases happens to be Mid-American in this case. So we have a 12-month rate of 4.71 cents a kilowatt hour. We have a 24-month rate of 4.88 cents per kilowatt hour. And a 36-month rate of 5.13 cents a kilowatt hour. The current Ameren-specific cost to compare, apples to apples, is 5.835 cents per kilowatt hour. So each of these three bids is less than Ameren. We would recommend the 24-month of 4.88 cents per kilowatt hour, which is almost 16.5% less than the current Ameren rate. And this rate would continue then fixed all in, including all transmission, all ancillary charges like land loss, renewable portfolio fees, energy fees, and so on, as well as capacity, which compares to Ameren, which is 5.835. And Ameren goes back to market in June. Actually, the auctions will be done in May and, or April and May to bring Ameren's new price. We anticipate Ameren's price will go up, and we're not sure how much. But I can tell you that one of the two key factors in pricing is the fixed cost, or what are called the capital costs involved. And you may recall, well, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but capital costs dropped to the floor. Last year, the capital costs, this won't mean anything to you until I tell you what this year's is. Capital cost was $75 per megawatt day. Essentially, that's all utilities plant, generating plant, switch yards, and that sort of thing at the plant. They dropped to $1.50 per megawatt day this year, the current year. Some utilities are taking a bath because they're not recovering any of the cost of their investment. The energy price itself, fortunately, has been holding very nicely. We use natural gas as a marker. This year, natural gas commodity was the only energy commodity that actually reduced in cost. All the others, oil, coal, and others, went up considerably. Natural gas actually dropped 10% over this last year. So we know energy charges are going to be very nicely down. Capacity charges are going to be going up. So what we're looking at doing is recommending that we lock in this price of 4.88 cents for 2 years, which is already roughly 16.5% less than Ameren, which we expect Ameren's price to continue to go up over the next 2 years. Why wouldn't we go out 3 years, which is still a good price? The reason we're not recommending 3 years is because the new tax law provides a pretty good reduction in taxes for corporations. We don't know how the Illinois Commerce Commission is going to view that issue in terms of new money that's available to the utility. They may order utilities to come in with a tariff which would reduce the price of electricity. So we don't want to go out 3 years because we may be bidding in into a year in which we see a lower rate. We want to have the opportunity to at least grab onto a lower rate in that third year. So our recommendation, ladies and gentlemen, is the 2 year Mid-American offer of 4.88 cents per kilowatt hour. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Any questions?
Forgot one important thing. Okay. Start date would be in April. So each person is going to get what we call a toolkit. Again, letting them know what their rights are, that they have every opportunity, a right to opt out at any time, and a comparison, what the terms and conditions are, which are basically, it's a wash really with Ameren. The same terms and conditions Ameren uses, these utilities would use too. In other words, we're going to get supply to you. We're obligated to get supply to you, so on. So,
since we have a board, and I don't have to make the decision on my own, so I'm going to put it out for you guys to make the motion, and then everybody thinks this is okay.
If you feel uncomfortable about breaking ice, this is not breaking ice. You're the 57th town that I've brought into our system, so others have done it. Don't feel uncomfortable because it hasn't been done before.
Does anybody have a problem with this rate? The 20 more months. Okay.
I make a motion that we accept the 24-month Mid-American rate of 4.88 cents per kilowatt hour for our SIMEC energy aggregation price.
And authorize the board president to execute the order.
Sure. What he said.
I'll second.
Which I think we did at another meeting too. But covers it.
It's all about coverage.
Exactly.
Buffo?
Yes.
Bean?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay. Then we have an ordinance on bidding a tax levy.
So when you approved your bonds, you also approved guarantee of the payment of the bonds. The bonds are being paid for from your TIF income stream, but ultimately, if that was insufficient, there's a automatic levy that's out there that would levy the whole bond payment amount and make the payment if you didn't have enough money. So what happens is each year you look at whether or not you had enough TIF income to make your bond payments, and when you realize you do have enough income, then you pass this ordinance and it tells the county, oh, don't put that levy onto the tax bill. We technically have until, I think, sometime in March to file this, but we just want to get this passed to get it done since we know that we have enough money to pay bigger bond payments.
Cool. I just need a motion to pass Ordinance 2018-02.
Make a motion to approve Ordinance 2018-02. An ordinance authorizing abating a tax levy in connection with the issuance of Series 2012 Alternate Revenue Source Bonds.
Bubba?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
All right, since we have our Planning Commission here, do we want to back up real quick and let Frank talk? Frank, would you like to talk about that building?
Time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do that?
Perfect. You can sit there. You don't have to get up.
Did Brandy already get these to you?
Yeah, we actually discussed it earlier, but we can go back to it.
Okay, well, I'll zip through it. So the first page there just introduces Prairie Manor Apartments, senior living. So you got a purpose for this. The developer is Paul Moore, Jr., the third, I believe. He's been working on this. Developments at the corner of Central and River Road. And it's one of the last parcels in town, and we're in fill-in mode since we don't have any active subdivisions. The developer has been working with BKB Engineering for some of this, and some of it is coming from an architecture firm. So he's been getting a benefit of professional help. If you turn over page one, page two shows it's labeled the site plan of what's there right now. No buildings in the way, so it locates as much as possible. There's a disclaimer in there that says the location of utilities is speculation. So that's about as good as we can do sometimes in Tolono. Doesn't show much really in the way of obstacles or things that need to be avoided. Moving right along, page three, you've already probably looked at this then. It's sort of the current version. And as these kinds of projects do, this is about the third plan that's been proposed and worked through to get costs and so on and so forth. This shows the number of units that are proposed and how they're going to be laid out there. I think it's one of the big bugaboos in Tolono and other places is always stormwater drainage. They have done a good job of realizing that, and so they provided detention facility. Are there questions so far with this kind of boilerplate stuff? Where it's located, what's being proposed, is senior living kind of facility. My understanding is that it will all be managed as one facility. There will be a management company that takes care of all this. Questions from you folks so far? This is a proposal now. I mean, it's not a done deal by a long way. If you look beyond that, it's a little bit more diagrams of what the elevations might look like, front and rear, and a plan for the layout of the how the space would actually be made available. Okay, so that's what's going on, and you folks may have heard this is being proposed. So I don't believe there are any secrets. This is, as I said, at least the third attempt to put the thing together. So they're making progress. As chairman of the planning commission, I recommended to these folks that the procedure we follow is the procedure for a planned unit development. And the reason for that is, number one, it all looks like one unit. It's going to be managed and kept as one unit and not sold off as apartments or separate buildings. The next thing is that a number of issues need to come together in order for something like this to go forward. And I think the planned unit development is the best way to do that. You may have noticed that the land right now, the parcel that this is targeted for, is not annexed to the village. So the first step that needs to happen is an annexation. The developer sees it more of a question of what's the zoning going to be. And my answer to that question is the determination of the zoning classification doesn't come first. What comes first is some information comes forward to help figure out what is a reasonable zoning. And I think it's important in a case like this to nail that down so that, for example, let me run through a hypothetical. That suppose it were that we'd agree to zone it R4 and annex it as R4. And then, for whatever reason, his finances fall apart or whatever, and okay, now he's sitting on a piece of property that's zoned R4. That may not be the use, and that's permitted by right then, a number of things, multifamily kind of facility. We might not think that's the right thing for that particular neighborhood. But if we zone it R4, then we're stuck with it in the annexation. So what I think needs to happen is we're going to have to, if a project like this is something the village wants to see go forward, we're going to have to invest some money in our engineer and our legal folks to sort out a number of issues, and it starts right with the annexation agreement and figuring out the zoning and what requirements we want to put on that. And that would have to go into that annexation agreement. It says, we're anticipating this kind of a project. It will need these variances about space and so on and so forth, and a number of things that might come up. Our engineer might say that the floor plans are simply too limiting, they're too small. I just don't know, I don't expect that. Once the engineer and their lawyer and our lawyer figure out how we're going to write an annexation agreement that nails the thing down, that's sort of the first step. Then the next step, once an annexation agreement is written, we should have a document. The annexation agreement, and the developers should be able to take that to a bank and secure financing to go farther forward with this. But I don't think until we get that far, he's going to be able to get a loan to help him finish it. Along the way, there are going to be a number of engineering kind of questions that our engineer has to agree with the developer on where does he hook into the sewer, is the water sized appropriately. I think they've already worked through a lot of those questions. But again, those would be issues that need to be addressed, and our engineer is going to have to put a list of requirements forward. These don't go into the, they wouldn't, those kind of agreements would not go into the annexation agreement, but would be requirements then that the final plans would have to adhere to. At what point do we come back to the village board? My answer is that we certainly should come back and be sure that that pre-annexation agreement is going to meet, or the annexation agreement is not a pre-annexation agreement, this is the real deal. So that would be one that the board would need to approve. And then the next step is final plans. This would include all of the requirements, engineering requirements, as well as possibly covenants that need to be written, checking the thing out against our ordinance and our maintenance staff. On the face of it, the Zoning Board of Appeals is not necessarily involved, although we certainly want to be sure that the other pieces of the village, the fire department, the police get a chance to look at these things and be sure that it looks to me like there's a dead end in the street there on the plan they proposed. So those are the kinds of things that we consult with these folks. We don't pay the money the way we're going to have to pay the engineer and the lawyer. Assume they'll give us good advice. So that would then, I think the Planning Commission just kind of keeps the parties working together. And we should be able to bring to you then, if they've made decent progress, it should be one package that's got the whole ball of wax, all the variances, the kinds of things that the Zoning Board of Appeals usually has to react to should all be put together in the package. Comes to use one package, and we pass it, and they get a building permit. Make sense? Mm-hmm. See any holes in that, Mark?
No, I mean, I think you make a brilliant point, and that is, rather than rezone it as a classification that would allow the use but put you at risk of opening up a lot of uses of the property, you do a planned unit development and they can go belly up and someone else can come along and take over the project, but they're stuck building just this project, and that's what you agreed to. That gives us a lot of protection, and that's a appropriate process.
Okay, well, my goal here this evening was not to waste a lot of your time, but to be sure that everybody knows and you have a chance to start thinking about it. There will be public hearings, at least. Mark may have to guide us on that. I'm not sure we need a lot of public hearings. One, we don't actually need a public hearing to do the annexation agreement.
There are a couple ways you could do it. If they really have their act together, you can do the annexation agreement with the approval of the PUD all in one package.
That's...
If they don't have that level of detail, then you can do an annexation agreement and bring them in, I suppose, and then follow up and do the other pieces. But I'm guessing that we could probably do it all as one package, and that would save everybody a lot of money and time.
That was my goal. That's the way I thought we should proceed. But, again, I want to be respectful of the public and the neighbors in particular. If you all sense that this kind of zoning, there are a lot of new houses to the north of this and to the east of this. If your sense is that we need more public input, then we can do it, but I would see it as best done with one package. Be sure we've got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. So that it's a reasonable project, which is why I honestly believe that our engineer is going to have to kind of jump right in here and be sure these guys are doing what they need to be doing. Cost you money.
Yeah, we discussed that earlier, and Matt's going to talk to the two engineering firms that we use, get prices from them so we can move forward on it, because these guys have been waiting a long time to get this far. So,
well, they've been working and making changes, yeah, too. So, you know, this hasn't been wasted time, I don't think. I think it's improving. Okay, that's all I had.
Can we get it done by the 20th, the meeting on the 20th of next month? We do it during the meeting.
What exactly do
like
you mean by
to
get
do
done?
That? So we can do the public hearing and everything together? Or would that be too soon?
No, it's going to be similar to the zoning change. I mean, it's going to be something where we stick an ad 15 days in advance.
Okay. Well, that's next
month. Savoy does it this way pretty frequently.
Okay.
I'm thinking that if we got it by your second meeting in February,
that's the 20th.
I'd be surprised. I think that's probably unrealistic. I think this is something that will get into March.
Maybe tackle the zoning thing on the meeting on the 6th, and then
we'll tackle our ordinance part. Yep, that we were talking about. That'll be separate from that. But this, I mean, I haven't looked at this or seen it, so I'll take a quick look at it and then. I think you've got a little bit of engineering process. I just don't know that we'll have all the ducks lined up that quickly. But if they have their act really together, yeah, we won't be the part that's slowing it down.
So we can shoot for the March 6th give them kind of a deadline. We can shoot for it, and if everybody's, yeah, we can put the ad in on the last meeting in February. That'd give us close ideas. Okay. It just gives us an idea.
That's just for a public hearing?
Yeah.
Correct?
Well, it's a public hearing and approving it all together in the same.
Okay. Because I'd like to hear from the public, because just down the road, there was a condo unit that tried to go in, and it was shot down by the public.
Okay.
Pretty drastically. So I would hate to get in a major process and then we found out, you know, our community doesn't really
support it.
So and that was just literally a block or two down the road. It was at Applebee property. I don't know if you were on the board.
Well, I think I was just coming on the board when you guys were talking about it.
I thought that was on the other side, our side of
town. No, it was right down the road.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks, Frank. And we're on nuisance properties.
I know you guys copy of what Dan did last Saturday that Monday. He's all ready to be turned over to work for the third letters.
Started with about how many, like the initial letters, and then how many are we
it's
have?
It's not knocked out very many.
Oh, we didn't shake those a bunch? Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've added to the list. Freedom? We talked about it.
What is your name?
The building's falling apart. And the property, I think, was a claim that the roof's falling down inside and the side's falling off.
And the one I didn't know about, I haven't driven past, the 307 North Elizabeth. Was the one with the garage that you have me on there?
I haven't driven by it for a while.
Because it's cleaned up.
Morgan's not here. Do you know about 307 Elizabeth? Did that garage get? And it just goes falling down.
Some dumpster out there
cleaning it up.
Cleaning it out. I don't know if they haven't put out the building.
Okay. So there's progress anyway. Yes. Okay. Questions on any of the nuisance stuff? That they're going to Mark next so he can send letters. Anything for our discussion? Anything to add?
No.
You had your chance. We're going backwards.
Yeah, I'll have something to
talk. Do you have something too? Go ahead. Do your thing.
This evening, went home. Pick up for the meeting tonight. Robert calls. We had a frozen water meter in the house. After hour call. Meter's busted. It wasn't one in our list to replace. $195. Second, it's an after hour call. Time and a half. Third, we're not getting the guys go, well, I need to have somebody come out and at least shut the water off. Instead of doing that, I went and replaced the meter, got the water working again. But should there be a after-hour call-out that a homeowner has to pay for that? This is just something I want to bring up to let you ponder on for a while, because this is costing us money in overtime.
I think it goes along the same concept of you're, when it's happened to us, where we burned up a power line outside. It was the buried power line behind our garage. We didn't pay Ameren to come out and fix that line, because that's their job to provide that service to us. Same thing with water. We're providing a service for them. That's part of it. Now, if it's the owner's fault, I don't. These inside meters are driving me nuts. I don't quite understand how the inside meters work. And this is in an unheated garage, just laying on the ground, or something along those lines.
In the garage, in the utility room, and it had like the louver doors on it between the garage.
And this is like the second time this has happened.
The second time that it's froze. First time that it's busted the meter.
In instances where it's an inside meter inside their property and they're not providing the proper care for that meter, I can see something like that. But if it's outside, that's our responsibility, I feel. I'm open to discussion on stuff.
And that's fine. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I mean, because, like I said, it's costing the village money for us to go out. And if it's, you know, most people don't get home until later in the evening to find out that they do have a problem. So, it's one of those things, you know, when we're off the floor, we're called back in to do something that it's bad, but...
You know, how long did it take you to change out the meter?
Half hour.
And you're paid 2 hours call back anyway.
Well, I'm here again, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, cool. Thank you.
I'd suggest to him putting some heat tape on that line, though.
He did. Like I said, it was sitting right next to the water heater, but you put your hand on the heater, and there's no heat coming off the water heater, so there's no heat really inside that utility room to keep it warm. So most of the time, you don't have that issue when you got your water heater in there. You're just putting off the heat. That it keeps it warm. I mean, it's like it was literally that far away from it. So.
Perfect. All right.
Question, Matt. You might fencing on pools. Have we got any further on that?
We kind of they're kind of died. we need to bring it back up.
It's risen, so it's
okay.
Particularly Blaskey's.
Okay.
Wanting to put a pool in.
Okay.
They've came to me and asked me about it, and to be honest, I don't know what to say, because if pools are supposed to have a 6-foot fence, it's hard to tell them that they have to have a 6-foot fence. Literally, people on both sides of them have a pool with just a 4-foot fence. So that's we need to figure something out,
right.
Something out quick, because if we're not going to do anything about it, then you know my suggestion to them would be go ahead and put it in. What's you know,
well,
there's 10 other ones that they're, you know.
And the other thing is, I mean, we don't have building permits for pools. So sometimes we don't even know if there's a pool going in. So then if you have a fence that's... So if you don't, unless they get a permit for a fence, but you still don't know if there's a pool in that yard.
Yeah.
So.
Is that something we need to add to our building permits? Or just enforce the fence rule that's already there.
Yeah, that's pretty much after that. It's in their property, so.
And Rick and I, we kind of looked through. I got on Google Earth and did a visual inspection on there. Rick actually went around two properties to kind of see what properties weren't in compliance, and that either didn't have a fence at all, or that, I don't know if he looked for fences that were.
Well, yeah, if they had a fence around it, kind of a judgment, because, you know, they got some of them's got these decks on the top of the pools to go around the pool kind of thing. So I don't know if you count from the ground to the top of that fence, or, you know, there's some things that I just kind of guessed at.
Right.
But most of the ones where I could see that you can get up there, too, and just climb over it or something like that would have been put on the list as a pool with no fence, or if you had a small fence, I'd put a pool with maybe a 4-foot fence. Or,
yeah.
You know, I tried to describe it as best I could, but I don't know what it would be. Someone's got it somewhere.
Yeah, I think we just need to put some thought so we have some consistency with it.
Yeah.
Not obviously nobody's worried about a pool
right
now, so we have a little time, but it'll sneak up on us
to start looking at it.
Yeah, it'll give us a few months.
We'll have Brandy send out the ordinance again. You guys start on the list and with some recommendations. So. Like, go off your list and some recommendations that you had from that list of deficiencies or suggestions of what we need to fix, how we need to fix it, and what pools need it. Do the little bitty, you know, like the, they have the ones that are bigger than a kiddie pool, but they're, what, 3 foot? They just blow up, and then you take them down. Do they need a fence? I mean, just there's lots of... Lots of questions. We're not going to make them put one around a little kid's waiting pool.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that this is where we run into the problem. It says all pools.
So maybe that's something we need to fix.
Fence, you know, 3 feet off the ground.
And that did just kind of die, so that needs to be brought up again.
Yeah.
Anything else for the good of order? You had your chance, too. You're fine. It's out of your training budget.
Can you just add the fence to old business, and then that'll kind of remind us to just twice a month to look at it?
Hey, we're doing good on the nuisance. We're moving forward on that. Anything else? I don't think we have anything for executive session unless somebody has anything I don't know of. I don't know. He redid them, and I don't know if he's talked to. I just give them to the people and signed them. Hey, Rick.
Yes,
do you have anything for executive session?
Not much. You want.
Are those done?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do those real quick.
Well, do we need them? Do we need to go to executive session?
Yeah, we'll go to executive session for those.
Okay.
So. It'll be quick. I think there's only 3. So I need a motion to go to executive session.
Motion to go into executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees.
A second.
Perfect.
Barbara?
Yes.
Kay?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Christine, I don't think we're doing any motions out. So I think